The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello, this is John Ivey for the North Carolina Reading Service, and this is Sports Illustrated for Kids. For the next half hour, I'll be reading to you from the November-December issue of Sports Illustrated for Kids. And we're going to go right into Who's Who, second line. Her name is Olivia Miles. She's a Notre Dame Fighting Irish guard, basketball. Her height is 5'10". She was born January 29, 2003, in her hometown, Phillipsburg, New Jersey. In March, Miles became the first freshman to record a triple-double in the NCAA tournament, men's or women's, when she had 12 points, 11 rebounds, and 11 assists against UMass. The game was Miles' big dance debut. She finished the season second in the nation in assists per game, 7.4, and led the Fighting Irish in scoring, 13.7. Did you know, though, that Notre Dame is coached by Nyel Ivey, whose son, Jaden, was drafted fifth by the Detroit Pistons in 2022? We're going to go down to the third line. Jalen Waddle, Miami Dolphins wide receiver. His height is 5'10". His weight is 182 pounds. He was born November 25th, 1998, in his hometown, Bel Air, Texas. Through six games in 2022, Waddle averaged 17.8 yards per reception, good for fifth in the NFL. The previous year, he set the league record for most catches by a rookie with 104. In college, Waddle was a teammate of his current Miami QB, Tua Tagovailoa, at Alabama, and he helped the Tide to the 2020 national title. Did you know, though, before Waddle broke the record, the mark for catches by a rookie was held by Anquan Boldin, 101, in 2003. Moritz Seider, Detroit Red Wings defenseman. His height is 6'4". His weight is 197 pounds. He was born April 6, 2001, in his hometown, Zell, Germany. In his first season with the Red Wings, Seider led all NHL rookies in assists, 143, and was fourth in points, 50. He was awarded the Calder Trophy as the league's top first-year player. Seider was named the best defenseman at the 2021 World Championships, where he helped lead Germany to a fourth-place finish. Did you know, though, that Calder Trophy is named for Frank Calder, who was the president of the NHL from its inception in 1917 until his death in 1943? And we're going to finish with Sophia Smith at the top. Portland Thorns forward. Her height is 5'6". She was born August 10, 2000, in her hometown, Windsor, Colorado. Smith scored 14 goals and added 3 assists in 18 games in her second NWSL season. She was named a finalist for the league's MVP award. Smith has also scored 11 goals in 25 appearances for the United States women's national team, and she led Stanford to the 2019 NCAA championship. Did you know? Smith received her first cap against the Netherlands in 2020, becoming the first player born in the 21st century to play for the USWNT. And let's finish with Scottie Barnes. Toronto Raptors forward. His height is 6'7". His weight is 227 pounds. He was born August 1st, 2001, in hometown West Palm Beach, Florida. Following a season in which he averaged 15.3 points per game and helped the Raptors to a 21-win improvement, Barnes was named the NBA Rookie of the Year. In his second game, he had 25 points and 13 rebounds against the Celtics. Barnes played 1 year at Florida State and was the fourth pick in the 2021 draft. But did you know Barnes was the third Raptor to be named Rookie of the Year? Two teams, the Nuggets and Heat, have never had a player with that award. Reminder of the December birthdays. December 5th, Real Sociedad striker Alexander Suryov turns 27 years old. On December 7th, New York Mets first baseman Pete Alonso is 28 years old. On the 14th of December, offensive lineman Rain and USWNT right back Sofia Huerta turns 30. On December 20th, Sacramento Kings point guard De'Aaron Fox is 25 years old. And guess who turned 47 on the 30th of December? Tiger Woods. All the buzz from the year that was. After years of quarantine, Buzz Beamer busted loose. No game award ceremony or film set was safe in 2022. Now he would like to share his travel album and apologize. United States Open, September 11th. Typically, only the best ball kids work the men's final at the United States Open. So why was I there? Granted, I was hanging in pretty well up to this point, crouching, rolling, running, and scooping. Thankfully, Carlos Alcaraz was celebrating his victory and didn't see my failure. Oh, poor Buzz. Not when he's ready to swing. WNBA Finals, September 18th. Is there a better 1-2 punch in all sports than Asia Wilson and Kelsey Plum? Maybe Buzz and Whitney. That's why Raquina Williams brought us to the celebration. I don't think so. Super Bowl 56, February 19th. Only the best officials get the call to work the Super Bowl. And this year, the best officials all got sick after eating the same soup. So Liz and I had to fill in. I don't think we'll be invited back. No, I don't think so. You missed a call there, Buzz. Schwarber explodes, April 24th. Kyle Schwarber wasn't too happy with the ump strike zone in this game, but I can't help but feel a little guilty. A good catcher can steal strikes, and naturally I'm one of the best. After I successfully framed this curveball, Kyle had visions of hurling me over the fence. Oh, boy. NBA Finals, June 16th. Honestly, who's the real MVP? Steph Curry, who averaged 31.2 points per game in the finals, or me, Buzz Beamer, who mostly stayed with the team when they didn't make the finals for 2 years. I'm going with Steph, Buzz. CFB Championship, January 10th. I swore that I would never return to Lucas Oil Stadium after participating in the 2019, 2020, and 2021 NFL Combine without being drafted. Ultimately, however, I decided to swallow my pride, as my dog, Buckethead, is UGA's understudy and had been called into action. Go Bulldogs! March Madness, April 4th. Word to the wise, if you get in big trouble for jumping on the court during the NCAA championship game, they won't accept March Madness as a defense. Get out of the way, Buzz. Stanley Cup Finals, June 26th. Is this why Deputy Commissioner Bill Daley and not Gary Bettman is back there with me? No hair? The worst part of it is I tried to cut a hole in the ice to douse my head. But there's no pond under there. And finally, Top Gun Maverick. Everyone loves to talk about how Tom Cruise does all his own stunts. But so do I. I've been injuring myself for your amazement for years. Unfortunately, my scenes in this particular project got cut. Oh, well, another time. What if Russell Wilson played baseball? The Colts have just beaten the Broncos 12-9 in October in a game that featured no touchdowns, 4 interceptions, and 7 field goals. It's a kind of game that makes fans question why they didn't just read a book. Or in the case of Broncos quarterback Russell Wilson, the kind of game that makes him wonder what could have been. I've had a great career, Russ knows, but football is a punishing sport, especially for the quarterback who has to stand in and take a hit to make a play. After 10 years and 447 sacks, anyone might imagine doing something, anything else. For Russell Wilson, that fantasy job has always been the baseball career that wasn't. The Rockies took him in the fourth round. He could have enjoyed living in Denver, just as he does now, without all the expectations or pain. As he sits in his bathtub full of warm water after his miserable loss, his mind drifts to a sun-soaked dugout. The smell of sweaty shoulder pads gives way to the scent of fresh-cut grass and glove leather. The birds are chirping. The fans are... Hey, bro. Russ thought he was alone. But as surely as Bill Belichick's hoodies are sleeveless, Rob Gronkowski is floating above him. Hey, Gronk, what you doing? I'm an angel now, Gronk replies. Needed a new gig after retirement. You know, those Subway commercials don't take that long to shoot. You can be an angel while you're still alive, Russ? Russ asks. Of course. You're thinking of werewolves. I don't think I am. Anyway, bro, I've been sent here to do, and it's a wonderful life. Have you seen that movie? Do you think the kids who read this magazine have seen that movie? It's super old. Anyway, we're going to be checking out what everyone would be up to if you had played baseball instead of football. You feel me? As if by magic, Gronk transports Russ's tub to an alternate reality. Marshawn Lynch, Richard Sherman, and Robert Saleh are waiting patiently for Seahawks fans at a deserted autograph table. Quarterbacks have a big impact on their teammates' careers, Gronk explains. Believe me, I know. I followed mine to Tampa. In your timeline, you lead the Seahawks to their one and only championship in Super Bowl 48. But in this reality, Seattle has still never won a Super Bowl, leaving these guys' resumes a little bare. Richard Sherman isn't a media personality. Robert Saleh hasn't become the Jets' head coach. And Marshawn Lynch never went beast mode and became a television actor endorsed by Skittles. He does books on tape and is endorsed by Spree. I'm pretty sure Marshawn coined beast mold before he was even on the Seahawks. And why is my bathwater cold now? It's an alternate reality, bro. Everything is the opposite. You play baseball, up is down, warm is cold. That doesn't make a ton of sense. Why would the opposite of Skittles be Spree? Before he can ponder the true opposite of candy, Russ again finds himself whisked away. This time he sees Cardinals quarterback Kyler Murray has also become a baseball player. In front of a sparse Oakland crowd, Murray toils for the A's. Okay, but you can't argue with this one. You wouldn't be just condemning yourself to a lifetime of Major League Baseball obscurity. Kyler Murray would have also become a baseball player without your example to follow. When you succeeded as a third-round pick, you became the first superstar quarterback under 6 feet tall. The Cardinals never would have taken Murray first in an NFL draft without Russell Wilson. This one makes more sense, but the warm water thing still doesn't. Finally, Gronk and Russ find themselves in a rocking Comerica Park. Miguel Cabrera has just made the final out of the World Series and hung his teammates in jubilation. So I would have ended up on the Detroit Tigers and we would have won the World Series? I thought you wanted to convince me football was the right path. Not exactly. At the 2012 trade deadline, the Rockies traded Marcos Scutera to the San Francisco Giants. Scutera hit 362 down the stretch for San Francisco and won National League Championship Series MVP honors when the Giants beat the Cardinals in 7 games. In this reality, the Rockies held on to Scutera to mentor you and occupy second base until you were ready. The Giants never got past the Cardinals, who lost to the Tigers in the World Series. So, the Tigers haven't won the World Series since 1984? I'll be honest. I ran out of stuff to show you. I was going for a 3-beat Ghosts of Christmas Past, Present, and Future thing, but I didn't really have a third consequence. Basically, you're really great at football, but only kind of good at baseball. Your being a baseball player would have been bad for the Seahawks, but maybe good for the Detroit Tigers. I get it. I'm glad I chose football. It's just fun to imagine, what if? Totally get it, man. Like, sometimes I imagine if my name was Bronk. Anyway, if you could rate me 5 stars on my Angel app, even though I kind of messed up this last thing, that'd be great. They say every time a reviewer says good things, then an angel gets his wings. Sure. Thanks, bro. You're the best. Don't tell Tom I said that. Drive to Thrive. Meet the 2020 Sports Kid of the Year, Carter Bonas, who uses his autism as an asset as he golfs and runs his own business. Carter Bonas has a superpower. We've all dreamed of having one, of being able to fly or teleport or having incredible strength. But Carter will tell you he actually has a superpower, though it's not what you might expect. His superpower is his autism. Autism is a condition that causes challenges with social skills, behavior, and communication. As Carter explains it, that means not being able to focus, having trouble with eye contact, not paying attention, and not understanding social situations. It's made his life difficult at times. Being different has led to him getting bullied and having a hard time making friends. But after a few rough years, the 11-year-old has leaned into it. His Instagram profile declares, "Autism is my superpower. I have autism, and I think it benefits me," he says. "I'm very nice, and I tend to listen when people are talking. I have a big imagination, and I like to socialize with people." Carter's autism causes him to obsess over things. As he's learned to channel that hyper-focus, he's become an elite golfer. He runs his own clothing business. He gives free golf lessons and motivational speeches, reminding kids and adults you can do anything. You just have to believe in yourself and always stay positive. That relentless optimism in the face of trying circumstances is what makes Carter the 2022 Sports Kid of the Year. Carter didn't speak until he was 4 years old. As he was growing up, learning was difficult. He often coped with uncomfortable situations by giving hugs, which opened him up to teasing from his classmates and confused some of his teachers. Tantrums were frequent, and he had a hard time finding a school where he could learn. His parents, Thelma and Eddie Tenney, tried to find him an activity that would allow him to meet other kids. "I tried most sports, but I didn't really like them," Carter says. "Some of them were running around, people pushing you, coaches yelling at you." Eventually, a friend of his mom suggested golf. "The reason I like golf is because I don't like being touched," Carter says. "It's relaxing, and I love nature, too." The family lives in Florida, adjacent to the country club of Coral Springs. So Carter began taking lessons with Corey Henry, the pro at the club. Carter wasn't exactly Rory McIlroy when he started. "Oh, he was terrible," Henry says with a laugh. But the two worked and worked for 12 or 13 hours a week, figuring out not just golf, but how the teaching process would go with Carter. "We bonded," says Henry. "Now we have our own rhythm. I know how he learns, and he knows how I teach." Now, Carter hits the ball about 215 yards off the tee. Henry estimates he's played in 15 tournaments and finished in the top 4 or 5 in at least half of them. "The sky's the limit for him," says Henry. "He has the physical and mental ability." If you watch Carter play, you notice that not only does he hit the ball far, but he looks good doing it, too. He wears clothes from his own apparel line, Spectrum Golf. Autistic people are said to be on the autism spectrum. "I started my business because I was worried nobody would employ me in the future because I have autism, and I had a hard time making friends," Carter explains. "So I feared that when my mom and dad weren't around anymore, it would be really hard for me to find the job or just make a living. So I wanted to start my own business, so I would never have to worry about that. Golf gear wasn't Carter's first idea. He wanted to sell the vegetables in his garden, says Thelma, after he sat down and did the math and realized how much money he needs to support himself as an adult. He realized our backyard was not big enough to grow enough produce. He also thought about selling rocks from the front yard. Finally, inspiration struck and Carter hit upon something that people might actually want to buy. After a lot of bad business ideas, I eventually came up with the golf apparel, Carter says. He spends a lot of time in the hot sun and he's still very sensitive about how things feel against his skin. We were spending lots of money on clothes that were supposed to be comfortable for me, but they weren't because I have a skin sensitivity, Carter says. I wanted to give comfortable clothes to people who have a skin sensitivity just like me. He and his parents ordered sample after sample online, eventually found fabrics that worked. He came up with the same Spectrum Golf and a logo, NS, and a backwards G. I was writing the SG, but I wrote the G backwards because I'm dyslexic, he said. My mom said to fix it, but my dad said it'll look good. And it did. Carter isn't the only one rocking SG gear. He met Anita Uwadia, who plays on the LPGA's Epson Tour, and after chatting with her, became her sponsor. He also had the chance to meet Ernie Els, the former United States Open winner, who has a son with autism. Els, who's nicknamed the Big Easy, and Carter spent time together when Els was playing in a tournament in Florida. Els gave Carter some pointers, and Carter gave Els some swag. Els also invited Carter and his parents to visit his Els Center of Excellence, a facility for autistic people. What Carter's done starting up his own company and carving out a place for himself in society, that's what we're trying to achieve with the kids at our center, says Els. Carter's story is an inspiration to other kids on the spectrum, so it was wonderful to have him there. That inspirational story is one Carter is eager to share. The kid who didn't speak until he was four now delights in speaking to kids as well as adults about his journey. Carter just does it naturally, says Thelma. I am amazed and shocked by him every time he gets on stage or in front of students. He lights up. He loves sharing how he overcame his struggles and how he works every day to overcome them. It's an ongoing process. It's still hard for Carter to make friends with kids his own age. He has a tough time sharing his toys because he can't help but worry something will get broken. For him, let's play means you sit in the room with me. You play with your stuff. I play with my stuff, says his mom. But he's getting better. And as always, he's taking those compulsive traits and using them to his advantage. He's learning to channel those obsessions into business, into his golf, where it's becoming a positive thing, says his mom. Most kids might give up, but he does not have that ability to give up on something. He has to get it done or he's not going to be okay. And if there's one thing Carter has shown, it's that as long as he has his superpower, he'll be more than okay. One important criterion in picking a sports kid of the year is sportsmanship, and 2022 had some excellent examples during Little League Baseball Southwest Region Championship. Oklahoma's Isaiah Jarvis embraced and consoled Texas East pitcher Caden Shelton when Shelton appeared shaken up after hitting Jarvis with a pitch. The moment went into viral and became one of the feel-good sports stories of the year. In a less heralded case, in June, the Vulture Peak Arizona Eagles middle school softball players exemplified sportsmanship when they recognized the experience difference between themselves and Nottaburg, another local school. Instead of running up the score, the girl decided to call the game early so that they could help teach the other team some softball basics. Good sportsmanship always supersedes winning, as these kids demonstrated character and love of their games. And let's go to end zone. What's the call? That stings. Buzz's Bees are playing Whitney Reivels in baseball at the SI Kids Treehouse. Buzz is up at bat. for the Bees with Whitney pitching. Attempting to catch his friend off guard, Buzz tries to bunt for a hit. Whitney picks up the ball and tries to throw it to Kip, who is covering first. Buzz, however, is running inside the baseline along the infield grass, which makes it hard for Whitney to throw it to Kip. Whitney's throw ends up hitting Buzz in the back. Whitney says Buzz should be out because he was blocking her throw. Buzz says his back hurts and Whitney should buy him ice cream. Is he out? Answer, Buzz is out. Since Buzz ran inside the baseline, he's guilty of interference on the throw. Next one, chunk throw. In a soccer game between the Portland Pizzas and the Bakersville Burgers, the Pizzas kick the ball out of bounds. Burgers midfielder Johnny McDonald goes to make the throw in. In an attempt to fool the Pizzas, he fakes an overhead throw down the field before gently rolling the ball underhand to a nearby teammate. The referee blows the whistle. What's the call? The throw-in doesn't count. Johnny needs to throw the ball in with both hands from behind his head. He cannot fake such a throw and then roll it in. The Pizzas get possession. And next, we have Tip the Balance. The Murfreesboro Dream and the Franklin Aces are about to play a basketball game under WNBA rules. The Aces send their tallest player, Nancy, to face off against Dream center Adria for the opening tip-off. Nancy has a height advantage over Adria, but she times her jump poorly. To make sure she gets possession, Nancy tips the ball straight up, then jumps up again to tip it back to her teammate. Adria complains that Nancy can't touch it twice. Can she? The play is legal. Per WNBA rules, players cannot tap the ball more than twice on the jump ball. We've run out of time for today's episode of Sports Illustrated for Kids. Be sure to listen next time. We hope you've enjoyed it. I am John Ivey, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Sports Illustrated for Kids is available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. If you have any comments or questions, please call 919-832-5138. That number again, 919-832-5138. Thank you for listening to the North Carolina Reading Service.